We're very pleased to welcome in right now from ESPN, our great friend and one of the very best in this business of reporting the NFL, reporting sports, you name it. He is Sal Palantonio. Sal, welcome back.
Vic, thanks for having me on the show, and happy 4th of July.
Yeah, it's nice.
And I know it's on a Wednesday, but still, it's my favorite holiday, so I'm looking forward to having a day off.
We all are, yes, absolutely. I want to start, Sal, with your Browns thoughts, because I know you have many of them. This has been an interesting offseason for this team, starting with a draft that has created a lot of buzz and I think a lot of hope. If they've found their quarterback in Brandon Whedon for a long time to come, certainly Trent Richardson, all the talent that he brings aboard as a dynamic player and perhaps a starting right tackle and Mitchell Schwartz for a long time. Those are some positives that people have focused on for the past several months.
Well, you know, in preparation for your program, you know, I went down into the well at ESPN Stats and Information and went next level for you. And I came up with three specific things on the Cleveland Browns that I think will be very interesting to Browns fans.
Love it.
The first one, in the 2011 season, I found this little nugget about Colt McCoy. 74.1% of Colt McCoy's passes were thrown to targets within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. That's the highest such rate last year in the National Football League. So first and foremost, they've got to have Brandon Weeden stretch the football field. Now, you mentioned you've got two tackles now on this team. You got Mitchell Schwartz and you got Joe Thomas. You got two young guys, in my opinion, who are going to be bookend tackles for years to come, and teammates who are going to make a difference in protecting the passer. In order to get your other rookie started, Trent Richardson, you got to get the safety off the line of scrimmage. And what teams did last year is obviously stack up against the line of scrimmage because there was no vertical passing game, no threat of one. And that, to me, is where Whedon comes in and why Whedon is so important and his big arm is so important. Move the safeties off the line of scrimmage. Give that defense something to think about deep down the field. Second number that I came up with is really interesting. The Browns had 66 starts made by rookies in 2011.
Right.
The highest total for any team in the league. And you're going to have more rookies again starting. You're going to have Richardson starting. You're going to have a rookie quarterback starting. You're going to have a rookie right tackle starting. I mean, this is still a very young team, Vic, and it's going to remain a young team for a couple more years. Now, that obviously means they've got the developing pieces, but also it means this team is going to continue to make mistakes. The third one, and this is the most interesting one that I came up with, Cleveland's opponents ran the ball on 52% of their plays in 2001. Again, a superlative. The highest rate against any team in the NFL. The league average, Vic, was 42%. So Cleveland's opponents ran the ball a full 10% higher than the rest of the National Football League.
That's a big one.
That is a big one.
Yeah.
That is a really big one. So to me, those are the three areas that if I'm the coaching staff, if I'm Mike Holmgren, I'm looking at those three areas that I've got to fix or I've got to figure out how to make work for my team if you're going to win some games in your division. I mean, you can't go 0-6 in your division and hope to do anything.
Right.
And I look at this team as, you know, they're in the what I'll call the second phase of rebuilding right now.
Yeah, I would say that's probably a fair way to go about it. And I think the positive is, though, Sal, is that in the second phase, if these parts are fitting the right way, these young people, you can put fewer young people. You know, as time goes on, you don't have to have as many holes to fill. I think it becomes a tougher team to make.
Well, first of all, I think Brandon Whedon is a home run. I've studied him along with Ron Jaworski at NFL Films as getting ready for the season. I've listened to what John Gruden has had to say. I've read John Gruden's reports about Whedon. Gruden is very high on Whedon. I love Whedon. I love his maturity. I love his accuracy. I love his arm strength. I think he's going to be a tremendous leader on the field. And I think the combination of Whedon's big arm and Trent Richardson's ability to run the ball and those two bookend tackles. And then, of course, you know, Alex Mack is a pretty good player at center. So you've got young players on your offensive line. Everybody's under 30, and everybody has a lot of potential and some experience.
And you know a lot because you're around that Philadelphia team quite a bit. You know a lot about Brad Childress. You know a lot about Pat Shurmur, too, who was there for 10 years as an assistant. But they're rejoined with Childress now in Cleveland as offensive coordinator. How do you like that move?
Well, I like it a lot. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Brad Childress. I think he's a real smart coach. I think that he can develop young players. I like his calling of the game on game day. I think when you have now, he's going to look at Richardson and he's going to say, okay, here's my Adrian Peterson. He's going to look at Brandon Whedon and he's going to say, boy, I never really had that to this extent in Cleveland, a young quarterback with this skill set. So, and also, again, offensive line. The game is about passing the football. Hello.
Yeah. Yes.
And you got to protect the quarterback.
Yeah.
And if you have an offensive line that's this young, you know what they say, if you have 50, 60 starts together, then it's really difficult to beat an offensive line that's this young and this talented. So get them some reps together, get them some starts together, and I think you have something special with that O-line. You got to protect the quarterback in this league because, you know, everybody's attacking the passing game at the point of attack, Vic,
right.
Because you can't attack the passing game on the back end because of the way the refs are calling the game. You can't touch the wide receivers and the tight ends over the middle anymore. Nobody can.
Right.
Because of the way the point of emphasis is in the league. So the only way to attack the passing game is by attacking the passer. And if you have a good pass, if you have good pass blocking schemes and good tackles on both ends, you can develop something.
Sal Palantonio from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Sal, you've had a chance to visit several mini camps this offseason.
Yeah.
I want to start with the one in the AFC North that you visited, Baltimore. Your impressions of this Ravens team?
I think they have an old offensive line. Oh, and I think this is a team that's getting old real quick on defense and on their offensive line. Their wide receivers are still an issue. Anquan Boldin is over 30. Bryant McKinney's over 30. Matt Burks, he must be over 60 by now. Ray Lewis, he's probably in his final year. Ed Reed, who knows what's up with him. The core of that team is getting very old very quickly. I look at the Baltimore Ravens, and I wonder if they'll even make the playoffs this year. Mm. I really do.
Wow. Wow. No, that's quite a statement for that team. You also checked out the Redskins and RG3 there at quarterback. He was in Cleveland last week as part of the rookie symposium, visit the Play 60 event. Impressive athlete, to say the least. Didn't really get to see him throw a football with any anger, but you did. How's he look?
Oh, he's got a really terrific arm. And, you know, his arm strength in the pocket is just as good as it is outside the pocket. I mean, he's going to be totally a special player, but the question is, can they protect him? And can they have some balance on offense? I don't know. I really don't. This is a team that, has struggled to make the playoffs and do anything in the postseason for a long time. You know, and here's a dirty little secret about the Washington Redskins. Their fan base is starting to stay away. I don't know if you saw the graphic that was in the Wall Street Journal on Saturday. Did you see it? It was a front page story called Game Changer, the NFL Scrambles to Fill the Seats.
Okay,
did you see it?
I was aware of it, but what was the specific point about the Redskins?
Well, the graphic was unbelievable. They had the top five and the bottom five of game attendance as a percentage of stadium capacity. And the Washington Redskins were in the bottom five. In fact, they were in the bottom three.
That's a big stadium.
It's a big stadium. He put a lot of seats, over 90,000 seats in there, and his capacity is now down to 83%. Only Miami and Cincinnati were worse. So they're having, I know he's having difficulty selling suites and club seats. So, you know, this is an important season for this football team. Sure. There's a lot riding on this young quarterback, and I just wonder if they put too much on him. I really do. I look at this team, and I'm thinking, you know, Roy Helu is your running back? Tim Hightower? Where are you getting yardage out of the running game at all, Vic? You know, some, yeah. Pierre Garçon, I don't think he's a real upgrade. The other wide receiver is Leonard Hankerson.
Right.
Matt Santana Moss in the slot. Josh Morgan. I mean, these are guys. There's no superstar at all at any of the skill positions other than a young quarterback, a rookie quarterback. So I wonder about whether the Redskins, you know, will continue to lose their fan base.
That's asking a lot, you're right, of a young kid. The New York Jets will be, they're always an interesting story, and they're going to be so interesting with Tim Tebow's presence there. You were at their mini camp as well. I mean, the circus is already in town. How long does this play out, and what's the next shoe that's going to drop on this thing?
The circus is already down. Was that a shot at me, Vic? Come on. I've been up there almost every day.
Not at all. I know, you've been up there almost daily, yeah.
Well, you know, here's the problem with the Jets. And I did a little breakdown of the Jets. When you look at them, last, you know, I like to look at drafts over a five-year period. I don't like to look at them over a three-year period or two-year period or judge based on 1 year. I look at it as a five-year period. And this is an amazing number. In 5 years, the Jets have drafted just 23 players. Mm. They've given a lot of draft picks away. They haven't had a lot of draft picks. That means they're averaging just over 4 picks a year.
Right.
They've had only one Pro Bowler they've drafted in 5 years and 23 picks and just 5 starters. Now, just because as a way of comparison, let's look at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles have drafted 50 over the last 5 years. That's double.
Right.
That's double in 5 years, and they've had 14 starters. 14 starters, and the Jets have had only 5. So that means this team has had to rely a lot on free agency. And the problem this offseason is that Woody Johnson didn't have a whole lot of money to spend on free agency because, again, this is another team that's struggling to fill the seats in that stadium.
Sure.
They just lowered the ticket prices on 12,000 season tickets. All their suites are not sold out, unlike the Giants. So this is a team that's getting old and weak and lack of depth at key positions. And the key position to me is wide receiver.
Right.
You're overpaying for Santonio Holmes. Your other wide receiver is Chaz Schillens. And then you've got a rookie, Stephen Hill, who couldn't get on the field for the OTAs in the minicamp because he suffered a hamstring injury the first week that he was in the building. So I don't really care at this point. I just don't. Okay. I think the analysis of the Jets is I don't care who the quarterback is. If you have a problem at wide receiver, if you have lack of depth at the running back position and the tight end position, I don't see them doing a whole lot on offense. And this is a defense, Vic, that gave up 74 points to Philly and the New York Giants in back-to-back losses at the end of the year. Mm. 74 points.
Yeah.
That's why Rex Ryan went into the building and said, Mike Pettine, you're my friend. I made you the defensive coordinator, but because this situation's changing,
yeah.
I'm taking charge of my defense. My defense doesn't give up 74 points in back-to-back games.
Yeah, it's gotta
so
be fixed.
To me, it's about getting that defense right. If they don't get that defense right, I don't care what changes they've made with the offensive coordinator position, whether they brought Tebow in to compete with Sanchez. They're not going to score a whole lot of points.
No. And probably after he said, cuz, we got to fix this, you know, they went for a snack. I mean, you would think. You would hope.
A sandwich and a glass of milk, exactly.
Hey, great. We could talk with you forever, Sal. Great stuff as always. And we wish you all the best through the 4th, you and your family, and look forward to catching up with you soon.
All right, Vic, have a great summer, and we'll talk when training camp's open.
He is Sal Palantonio from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.